The U.S. Supreme Court agreed to take up a redistricting case out of North Carolina that election law experts say could lead to significant changes in how federal elections are run. The case could provide a ruling on a concept called the independent state legislature theory, which could give state lawmakers more unilateral power to set the rules for federal elections in their states. Republicans arguing the case say it would reflect a more accurate interpretation of the Constitution. Opponents say it could take checks and balances out of a vital part of elected government. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you heard about this upcoming case? What questions do you have about it? Do you want state legislatures? Do you want Wisconsin's state legislature to have more direct power over the way elections for president and Congress and Senate are run? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Robert Yablon is an associate professor at the UW-Madison Law School. Rob, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be with you.
Let's take this a step at a time. What is this case out of North Carolina that the Supreme Court says, yeah, we'll take a look at this later this year?
Well, the case is called Moore versus Harper, and it involves congressional redistricting in North Carolina. The legislature, the state legislature in North Carolina, is controlled by the Republicans. They drew new congressional districts after the 2020 census, and they did it in a way that tried to maximize the advantage of the Republican Party. And the map that they created likely would have handed Republicans 10 of the state's 14 congressional seats. Well, that was challenged. That map was challenged in North Carolina state court as a partisan gerrymander. And the North Carolina Supreme Court held that the map that the Republican legislature in North Carolina drew violated the state's constitution, threw it out. And ultimately, there was a new court-imposed map that was put in place, which was a more even-handed map. The legislature was unhappy about this, and they took the issue to the U.S. Supreme Court, arguing essentially that the state Supreme Court didn't have the power to step in and second guess their line drawing decisions.
And that takes us to this idea of the independent state legislature theory. People use it in a couple different ways, I think, but in a nutshell, what does it mean?
Yeah, well, you know, there are several versions of the theory and a range of different ways that it can be applied. But the basic claim is that the federal constitution empowers state legislatures to set the rules for federal elections unchecked by state constitutions or state courts or other state actors. In other words, that state legislatures are independent of the normal constraints on their authority.
So what would that mean if say, the U.S. Supreme Court said, yep, that's right, North Carolina lawmakers, you are the lone wolf on this one. What would that mean for election laws around the country?
Well, what it would mean for redistricting in particular is that the state legislature has the last word. And so if a legislature like the one in North Carolina decided that it wanted to engage in an aggressive partisan gerrymander, there would be no other state institution to stop it. And it could have wider implications than that. It could mean, for example, that those states that have shifted redistricting authority away from state legislatures and tried to give it to independent commissions, they could be thwarted because the court might say that the power has to stay with the legislature and can't be delegated to other actors. And then there are concerns that an endorsement of this theory by the U.S. Supreme Court could mean that other election rules, even beyond redistricting, could be held by the power to make those rules would be held by the state legislature alone, again, without constraints put upon them by state courts and state constitutions. And this has implications potentially for presidential elections. The independent state legislature theory underlied some of the efforts of President Trump and his allies in the 2020 election to try to encourage state legislatures to appoint their own slates of electors.
I've seen some critics of this idea who, you know, they don't like it in general, but they're not as worried about a post-election reversal of an outcome. The idea would be, okay, legislatures with this independent legislature theory could set up the circumstances under which votes are made and counted and tabulated and things like that, but they couldn't go back and alter the results afterward, which was what a lot of in the Trump camp were hoping to do to overturn the popular vote outcome in states. Do you worry that that line isn't as clear as some people are saying?
Right. Well, so, you know, the efforts in 2020 obviously didn't work out, but there are indications that, you know, there may be future efforts to try a similar scheme. Now, there are other federal laws that may limit the authority of the legislature after the fact to say, even though the voters voted for one candidate, we want to now step in and adopt a slate of electors in favor of the other candidate. But, you know, we would be in uncharted territory. And in the endorsement of the state independent state legislature theory would at least give a little bit of ammunition to those who would you know, attempt that, you know, that strategy.
Talking to Rob Yablon from UW-Madison Law School about a U.S. Supreme Court case, not one of this bundle of rulings they just issued, but one that they said they're going to take up later this year, saying that state legislatures should have more authority over federal elections, basically exclusive authority over federal elections for Congress, for president in their states. Forget the state Supreme Court or state constitutions. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of that idea? What questions do you have for our guest? 800-642-1234 is the number to call or email ideas@WPR.org. Rob, I want to look at some of the legalese here behind this. The word legislature does feature prominently here in the, I think, in the constitutional setup for how these elections work, but it seems like pretty consistently people have read that to mean not just like in Wisconsin, the Assembly and State Senate, but the legislative process, which would include a governor and the court system and the Constitution. Has that been read generally that second way more than that first way over history?
Historically, that has been the predominant reading for sure. Now, you know, so if you want to get to the constitutional text, you're exactly right. It does refer to the legislature. And it's really that one word that is the hook that the proponents of this theory rely on. Article 1, Section 4 of the Constitution says that the times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. And the proponents of this theory argue that that really means the institution of the legislature and maybe that institution alone. But historically, really, for the past 200 years or more, the consensus has been that that really refers to the legislative power, the power to legislate. And in every state, the legislature itself is a creature of a state constitution. There are limits on legislative authority that comes from state constitutions. Legislatures usually cannot act without the approval of a governor. And even more recently, the U.S. Supreme Court has indicated that legislatures the legislative power can rest with the people. And so sometimes in some states, there are ballot initiatives and referenda that are passed by the people. And the Supreme Court has accepted that that is part of the legislative power. And so this really would be a major shift from long established practice.
Right. You mentioned citizen bodies that are empowered to do this in some states. There was a Supreme Court case, I think, coming out of Arizona about 7 years ago, where there was one of these initiatives that took away the redistricting power from the legislature. Legislature challenged that, says, nope, you can't do that, independent legislature. The Supreme Court said, yeah, you can do that. So we've got this precedent in place, but we've got a different court now. How do you see that playing out?
So you're absolutely right about that. So that case was Arizona Independent Redistricting Commission versus Arizona Legislature, where the court rejected a version of the independent state legislature doctrine. Now, that was a 5-4 decision. And two of the justices in the majority there are no longer on the court. Actually, now three, that Justice Breyer has left. But that majority included Justice Anthony Kennedy. It included Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. They've been replaced by justices who have a different view of the world in many cases. And so I think that, you know, a lot of those who follow these issues wonder if those justices will be very respectful of this precedent, even though it is quite recent.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Susan is with us in Milwaukee. Susan, hi.
Hi. I am very concerned that the Supreme Court, under its current makeup, is going to take this bill on, because we have a strong majority, basically, that have come out of the recommendations of the Federalist Society, which claims to be conservative, but is actually less conservative than it is supporting of major corporations. And although I think Roe versus Wade is a red herring put out, you know, to distract us all, if you look at the rulings of the conservative justices, They have been overwhelmingly in favor of corporations over the rights of citizens. And what this would do is give state legislatures rights that I think are highly disproportionate, very much fly in the face of the Constitution. The Constitution set up a system of government that very carefully employs checks and balances. By giving the votes in a state to the state legislature that is not answerable to the state constitution, this flies absolutely in the face of checks and balances.
Susan, I gotcha. Rob, what do you think? Would this be, in effect, at a state level, an unchecked, unbalanced power?
You know, that is one of the main concerns with this doctrine. It does mean that the legislature, again, depending on how strong a form of this theory would be adopted, you know, in its strong form, the power to set the rules for federal elections would be left to the state legislature alone. The legislatures in many states are legislatures that themselves have been gerrymandered into power. And normally we do think of those legislatures acting in a broader institutional environment where they can't pass a law without getting approval from a governor. They can't pass a law if it appears to contravene their own state constitution. And so those checks, those protections are stripped away under the independent state legislature theory.
Susan, thanks for that call. We're talking about the U.S. Supreme Court taking up a major election law case with UW-Madison law professor Rob Yablon. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How much power should a state legislature have over the circumstances of federal elections in a state? Elections for president, for Congress, for the U.S. Senate. Do you want to see the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, give state lawmakers more of that power? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our talk now with UW-Madison Law Professor Rob Yablon. He's with us for a look at the independent state legislature theory and a U.S. Supreme Court case that could change election law in states around the country. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this independent state legislature idea? Should the state legislature in a state be the only body that sets laws for elections for Congress and the presidency? Join in at 800-642-1234. Do you worry it could make gerrymandering worse? 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's go back to your calls now. Elise is with us in Ashland. Elise, hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear.
Oh, very good. Well, this is I've got a question just for the professor, and I suppose it's kind of a big one, but it's you were talking about the admittedly uncertain prospect that if the court does go this way, that state legislatures would be able to appoint presidential electors directly. And, so on the one hand, I think we're all fairly familiar with the Electoral College now and how it distorts the vote. But I think, we're pretty used to being able to, if we can't vote for the president, at least we have the right to elect our state's electors. But of course, it wasn't always that way, back in the antebellum years, and I don't know if it continued after the war, quite a few states had the legislature choose the electors. And, that just, as a citizen, that sounds completely alien to what we think of in our democracy. I was just asking the professor to speculate on just what does that mean for our
I gotcha. Ideas? Elise, thanks a lot for the call. Rob, the idea that a state legislature could say, we won't do the popular vote thing anymore. The state lawmakers will vote and determine the electors themselves. Is that possibly something that could happen under this theory?
It is conceivable. So the caller is right that in the early history of our country, we did have state legislatures that chose presidential electors themselves. That practice largely died out by the 1820s. And from that point on, presidential electors have been chosen by voters. And if the independent state legislature theory were decisively rejected, I think it would be quite clear that the legislature would not have the power after the fact to try to choose its own electors when the voters, by law enacted by the state legislatures themselves usually, have chosen a particular presidential candidate. On the other hand, if the independent state legislature theory is endorsed, it at least does leave the door open to arguments that legislatures retain that power to step in after the fact if they don't like the results of the popular vote and choose their own slate of electors. You know, are there other potential limits on that? Yes, but it would at least mean that we would likely see more of those arguments and potentially more of those attempts.
Thanks for that call. We got an email from Matt in Madison who writes, putting the massively gerrymandered Wisconsin legislature in charge of elections is tantamount to putting the fox in charge of the hen house. Matt goes on, Republicans have proven over and over again that their goal is to win in any manner they can. They've attacked the very foundations of democracy and literally faced zero consequences. Can you talk about how, Rob, here in Wisconsin, this independent state legislature theory, if again ratified or confirmed by the U.S. Supreme Court, could play out here in the state?
Sure. Again, it could have a number of implications. In the districting context, it would mean that in the future, people would not have opportunities to make arguments to the state Supreme Court that the legislature overstepped, whether by engaging in partisan gerrymandering for congressional districts or by violating other state constitutional provisions when it drew its congressional lines. Beyond redistricting, it might mean that there would be more difficulties for election administration, because if it really is only the legislature's prerogative to set the rules for elections, then it wouldn't be clear to what extent we could rely on some of the other institutional actors that traditionally have played a very big role in administering elections. So sometimes what the law is underspecified, and we need the Elections Commission, we need local clerks to actually step in and make some of the decisions that help elections operate. And under the independent state legislature theory, it's not clear how much leeway those actors would have any longer to do their jobs. And then beyond that, there is the possibility, as we've talked about before, that a Republican-controlled legislature might feel emboldened to try to appoint its own slate of electors, even if that went against the popular vote.
Talking to Rob Yablon from UW-Madison's Law School, looking at a U.S. Supreme Court case the court has agreed to hear, saying that state legislatures should have more power, maybe exclusive power within a state, to set the terms of federal elections. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Ken is with us in Libertyville, Illinois. Ken, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. A quick question. So in regard to a state legislature basically just picking its own slate of electors for the presidential election, regardless of the way the vote went, is there some requirement that the joint session of Congress or the vice president or the Electoral College itself, if it is an entity, to basically put conditions and say, we will not accept your electors unless they were chosen by method XYZ? And so it would be like kind of like a federal safeguard that would say, you know, if your electors were just picked because, then we're just not going to count their votes. And I know that could lead to a situation where you don't get to 270 electoral votes, but I'm not considering that as part of the question.
Ken, thanks for the call. Interesting question, Rob. If the Supreme Court says the Constitution says state law legislatures get to do this, can Congress say change laws along with the president to say, yeah, you can't do that?
You know, it's a great question to what extent Congress would have some reserved authority to do that. Now, there is already a longstanding federal statute called the Electoral Count Act. It's been on the books since the 19th century. That law came into play a little bit in the 2020 election, and it does set some rules for the circumstances when Congress is supposed to count electoral votes, when there are competing slates of electors, how those slates of electors are supposed to be processed. The law is notoriously unclear. There have been a lot of people advocating for efforts to update and clarify that law, but that is at least a possible check and safeguard, although, again, it would sort of be untested, and we wouldn't know exactly how, say, the U.S. Supreme Court would respond in terms of the constitutionality of that kind of a law.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Guy next in Milwaukee. Guy, hello.
Hi. From what I understand, regardless of the Electoral College, if, let's say, a Republican legislator found out that a poll stayed open 3 minutes later than they were supposed to because their clocks weren't synced up properly, and it happened to be in a blue district or a red district, makes no difference. They could just say, we're going to eject that whole district's votes because they didn't follow the rules exactly to the letter. Is that the case?
Guy, thanks for the call. And Rob, I've heard that concern that a state legislature could set up stringent conditions that say, hey, if you violate these policies, X number of votes, or in some one way or another, votes could be excluded, as some people might see unfairly. Is that a concern?
You know, I do think that that would be a concern if, again, it is the legislature that has unilateral power to make these decisions. You know, right now, and for a long time, we've accepted that some of these decisions can be made by local clerks, that they can be made by the Elections Commission, and that courts may play a role. So, for example, you know, there are times in the past where you might have the power that's gone out at a particular polling place, and a court extends the hours of voting. Now, if the independent state legislature theory were enacted, it's not clear that that power would exist anymore. And if the polling place stayed open longer, it's not clear what the implications of that would be. So, you know, one of the concerns about the independent state legislature theory is precisely because it is novel and untested. There really is some potential for it to create uncertainty in our system and, you know, possibly undermine electoral integrity at a time when that's, you know, really not what we need.
Guy, thanks for that call. And Rob, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Good talking to you.
Robert Yablon is an associate professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison Law School. He was with us today to talk about a case taken up by the U.S. Supreme Court that could give state legislatures more power over federal elections in their states. Hey, a related issue, the Wisconsin Supreme Court expected to issue a ruling on drop boxes, ballot drop boxes in Wisconsin elections. We are planning to talk about that tomorrow here on Central Time. Meantime, watch WPR.org for news about that.